Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Tuesday was Election Day in the U.S. and Ohio, our neighbors to the west, were faced with a constitutional amendment, Issue 1, dealing with, quote, reproductive decisions, unquote. It overwhelmingly passed 56.62% to 43.38%. How could this have happened in a conservative state that passed a heartbeat bill? On October 16th, a few weeks before the election, Grace Panetta, a reporter with the 19th News, said, quote, if Issue 1 passes, abortion and other forms of reproductive health care will be protected in the state constitution. And then she went on to say, if Issue 1 fails, the courts will most likely decide the fate of abortion access in Ohio, unquote. So the question is what she said true? My guest today is Janet Porter. She's president of Faith to Action as we look at the aftermath of the passage of Issue 1 in Ohio. Thanks, Janet, for being with us.
So glad to be here. Thank you.
Let's start with how does a constitutional amendment process, how's the process work in Ohio?
Well, the way we've seen it work is that the one with the most money wins. They bring in foreign billionaires' funds and they buy an election. But foreign billionaires don't get to make Ohio laws.
Exactly.
So that's really the bottom line. I mean, the foreign money could be used to buy an election. And what would stop the Chinese from coming in and funding a forced abortion amendment next? Mm-hmm. Now, this ends here. Most important to hear, nothing else that I say today, this ends here. I say that for all the states that are in the crosshairs of those who would follow in our wake as those who are attacking and assaulting the right of the people through their elected officials to pass laws to protect life. I mean, these amendments, they're steamrolling over state after state, and they're acting like they are the law of the land when that's not the case.
Yeah.
When you look at it, people say, oh, this is a referendum on abortion. It was not. The right to life was never in this amendment. Unborn children were never mentioned in this amendment. The word woman wasn't in the amendment. This is a generic, ambiguous, vague dream list for a woke agenda to kill babies till birth and partial birth. And you know what? The legislature is the one that will be deciding what this is going to do. And I'll tell you, there were 26 legislators just after the election that stood up. And what they had to say, they had a joint statement, which went something like this. They said the initiative failed to mention a single specific law. We will do everything in our power to prevent our laws from being removed based on the perception of intent. So even though there's no specific law that's mentioned, it doesn't revoke a single law, it doesn't even mention a single law, mm-hmm. They want us to change our laws? No, thank you. And so what we're looking at right now is some legislation to address it, including removing jurisdiction from the courts to legislate from the bench. You know, you've known this, Diane, that mm-hmm. what the pro-aborts do is they go court shopping and they try to get a court to legislate from the bench. But that's not their role. That's not what they're supposed to do. And the courts are only given the jurisdiction over what the legislature says. The legislature decides the jurisdiction of the court. The court says that they can only have jurisdiction as provided by statute. So that means if the legislature says, you know what, we're not going to let you turn this into a partial birth, bring back a partial birth abortion in Ohio, they can do that based on the fact that that's their purview, that's their constitutionally given right. But this amendment, it's first off, it addresses an inalienable right. You know, just as we wouldn't put slavery up to a popular vote and say, you know, we'll have some slave states and some free states. No, amendments aren't meant to unravel inalienable rights, and that's what this thing attempts to do.
Yeah, I think we fought a civil war over the over that very issue when it came to slavery. You know, President Lincoln realized that we could not have a divided nation on the slavery issue. And my understanding is that you guys have to, back at the beginning, you have to gather a certain number of names on a in order to get a ballot initiative on the, or a constitutional amendment on the ballot. So I'm assuming that these folks who are pumping in money with ads and such, they were also paying for folks to go around and get names on petitions?
100%. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. They bought this election. They paid for people to get the signatures. Mm-hmm. And they paid for these ads with all of these millions of dollars. It was George Soros. Mm-hmm. It was Mike Bloomberg. It was Martin Haskell, who's the infamous partial birth abortionist. He gave into this campaign because, I don't know, maybe he wants to set up shop and kill babies halfway through birth again. I don't know, except he gave to this campaign. And so did foreign money. And that's really a foreign election interference, and it's not going to stand. You know, we've got all kinds of federal laws against, you know, how much you can give and who can give and that you can't accept donations from anyone out of the country. Well, this has no rules, no regulations. It's the Wild West that you can give. Anybody can give any amount. And if you want to come in from overseas and buy an election, there's nothing stopping you right now. And we just want to say it stops here. It ends now. And so that's really the message, that our children are not for sale to the highest bidder on a ballot initiative.
Absolutely. Do you know, I know that at this point, since since Roe v. Wade was overturned, that every initiative to add abortion to constitutions, to state constitutions, they've been successful. The pro-abort folks have. Do you know if the language that was used for Ohio's issue one is the same or similar to the other states?
We are actually, I'm told, worse than what they just passed last fall in Michigan.
Oh, wow.
That this is the new model. This is the one that's broader and more sweeping, because it wasn't just aimed at getting after children in the womb. They want to get at children in the classroom. They want to say that if a teacher or a counselor or somebody from the alphabet mafia takes one of these LGBTQRSTD, they take them in to get a surgery to alter and maim their bodies, cut off healthy body parts. Guess what? Mom and dad would never know about it. Parents would have no legal recourse. And the person who brings them in to have this surgery, whether it's an abortion or a transgender mutilation, they are completely immune by issue one. So it's a violation of parents' rights. It's a violation of federal law, of the Constitution, the 14th Amendment. It's the list is so long, I can't even begin to tell you just what it is. In fact, that we could, you know, we could just look at the ads that were run. One of the things we found in Michigan is a recent poll that was conducted by the Marketing Resource Group. They found, hey, that the people who voted for this a very deceptive amendment, much like in Ohio, that they actually didn't agree with any of it.
Oh,
they said 60% of voters who voted yes, they actually support parental consent, yet they voted for the amendment that stripped parents of that. Then 65% said that of the people who voted for this horrific amendment, they are favoring the 24-hour waiting period, giving women informed consent, and they voted. Yet they voted to repeal it. Here's a shocker: 97% of Prop 3 voters, much like Ohio's amendment, they voted for this thing, but yet they want abortion facilities to be licensed and inspected by the state to ensure basic health and sanitary standards. And guess what? They voted to strip and repeal them up, to repeal the state from them.
You said 97? You said 97?
97, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
97% of people who voted for the abortion till birth amendment, they voted for this very amendment that would strip even the very basic sanitary health standards. So the question remains, why did people vote for an amendment that's diametrically opposed to their beliefs?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is deception.
Yep.
They were deceived, just like in Ohio. They've got confusing ads, intentionally hid and deliberately lied about what the amendment would do. And what we're looking at right now is looking at those lies. There's commercials that came out and said, this will enhance parental rights. A bald-faced lie.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I had people go into the polls. I was working the polls on Tuesday, and they came in and said, I have to vote for this or my wife will die. Well, let me ask you something, Diane. If I was a billionaire, let's just say I want to end abortion in the state of Ohio. All right. If we're going to follow this playbook, all I have to do is introduce an amendment, tell everybody it's about puppies.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't vote for this amendment, this puppy is going to lose their life.
Yeah.
Your puppy is going to be taken from you. I could just lie through my teeth.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I convince people with these multi-million dollar lies, then guess what? The amendment would stand. It would solidify whatever it is I want. That's not the way the process works. In fact, the Dobbs decision that came out, the one that overturned Roe versus Wade, what Dobbs had to say is that it's the state legislatures, that this goes back. In fact, let me just pull this up. I'm going to read you the exact words from the Dobbs decision. It said, "It's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives, not mob rule, not the one with the most money wins, not foreign billionaires making Ohio law. No, it's the elected representatives that the people are represented through. And that's really the message."
Absolutely. Yeah, I've not read the Dobbs decision, but you're saying that the Dobbs decision itself said it's up to the people's elected officials to change the laws.
It returns the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. That's a direct quote from Dobbs v. Jackson.
So, I mean, you guys are the only one fighting this. All the other states, can't remember how many states, have passed similar constitutional amendments, basically, you know, allowing abortion up to birth. But you're the only ones fighting it. Wasn't Kentucky or Tennessee one of the states that passed one of these? Why aren't they fighting it?
It was Michigan. It was Kansas. It was Vermont. It was California. And now they're lining up next year to go after Florida, Arizona, Arkansas. I'm told they've got more than a dozen states right now, because this is their new playbook, Diane. This is mm-hmm. what they want to do. They want to steamroll over everybody. Yeah. And you know what? We're standing up. We're standing up to the tank in Tiananmen Square, and we're saying, not on our watch, not now. Wow. This ends here, because if we don't stop it in Ohio, then it's going to steamroll over mm-hmm. Pennsylvania and everybody else. By the way, if you want to find out, there's a press release that went out this morning that talks about some of the legislation that's going to be introduced. If you want to find out what's going to happen, how this battle is going to go, what we're going to introduce next, what front we're fighting on next, you can go to the website, faith2action.org, F2A.org is the shortcut. Just get on the email list. I don't bombard you, but you'll get the latest of what's happening. And why does it matter? Why does it matter to somebody in Pennsylvania? I'll tell you why. Because if we can stop it in Ohio, we can stop it in Pennsylvania. And that's really what it's all about. You know, there's one thing better than winning in Ohio, and that's winning in Ohio and everywhere else.
Right, exactly.
And that's what I believe God is going to work good from this loss. We're going to see a firewall protecting other states if we can stand together and win. So pray for Ohio. Join us in the battle. Get on the list and go to F2A.org so you can see just what's coming to a state near you if we don't stop it. So that's the message. And I'll tell you what, if we stop it, then we're going to tell every other state how to do it. Right. And hopefully we'll have a firewall that protects them as well.
Because it sounds like the left seems to be always organized, but you just gave a whole list of states that are targets for next year. I mean, they're not sitting around, you know, celebrating for an extended period of time. They're ready to march forward beginning January 1st, 2024. To get these efforts started in other states. But like you're saying, so you know, all this money came in from foreign countries, from billionaires who are, you know, pro-abortion, and there's nothing to stop this kind of money from going into any other state. Is that what you're saying? There's no rules when it comes to constitutional amendments.
That's right. It's the Wild West. The one with the most money gets to decide what your laws are. And that's not the way it should be.
No, absolutely not.
So there's some people say, you know, well, how can a state amendment be overturned? Well, one way legislatively is to say we're just not going to bow to this ambiguous, you know, assault to our inalienable rights. We're just not going to do it. We're not going to rip up 50 years of transparent, open constitutional laws that passed through the people for the last, you know, 50 years and hearings and debate and all the vetting that legislation requires.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, people say, you know, I can't imagine state amendments being struck down. And I have one word to say to those folks, and that is Obergefell. That horrible decision that happened to legalized fraudulent marriage.
Exactly.
So what that did is it struck down 28 state amendments that declared that marriage is between a man and a woman. I'm thinking, you know what? If the left can do that, you know what? So can we. We can actually see the Supreme Court step in and say, you know what? We don't want our country to be ramrodded, to have a steamroll to come in with the money from the left, the blood money from abortion, and out of the country money, foreign money that can't come in and buy election at the federal level. They can't do it at state legislature. Why should they be able to do it at the ballot level? And that's the message that I think we're hearing today from a united front of legislators. 26 of them stood just after the election. There'll be more that joined, mm-hmm. but right. just the day after the election, they stood and they said, no, not on our watch. And that's very encouraging, I think, yep. for the rest of the country, too.
Has the governor said anything at this point?
Yes, he's come out for it. I understand he was on CNN this week. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't understand what we can do. They say, well, why don't you just get a state amendment of your own? Well, if I had $1 billion or, yeah. you know, several million, right. I'd probably yeah. do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People ask me all the time, hey, why'd you pass heartbeat laws instead of going on the ballot? Why'd you go 15 states and get these laws enacted? Mm-hmm. That's because I would rather pass 15 state laws than one ballot initiative, because history shows that the one with the most money in a ballot initiative wins almost always. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking to say, you know what, there are other remedies. We don't bow to this ambiguous assault on our inalienable rights any more than we would allow somebody to come in and say, we're going to make slavery legal. We're going to put that up for a vote of a majority. If we get a majority vote, we'll have a slave state. No, you can't do that. In the same way, you can't rip inalienable rights and the laws of 50 years out of the books because you happen to have the most money. And that's what the legislature's saying. We're not going to let this vague, obscure inference dismantle 50 years of open, transparent, and constitutional legislation.
Absolutely. And you guys, I mean, what currently the Ohio law is that they just have to have 50% plus one in order to approve a constitutional amendment.
That's all it takes, 50% plus one and a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, and that's the thing right there, money to pay for deceptive ads. But there was an attempt several weeks ago with a special election to change that to where I believe it would up that to 60% in order for a constitutional
yes.
amendment to pass. And that
yes.
did not pass.
It did not pass for the same reason.
Yeah,
it's the money. People say, oh, it's the messaging. No, I sent a message to Governor Huckabee this morning. It's not the messaging. It's the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it. And what the narrative that's being said now is very troubling. They're saying, oh, abortion's a losing issue.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is not. I assure you that what we're going to see is this thing turned around in a way that affects not just Ohio, but the rest of the country. And the last thing we want to do is see pro-lifers cower in fear mm-hmm. and crawl in a corner and not speak up. Look, you know what? The heartbeat bill, it is a winning issue. It's to keep hearts beating, and we see that 7 out of 10 in America favor it. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, people understand that if there's a human being, a fellow human being with mm-hmm. a beating heart, that's a signal of life. It's a scientific fact. To deny a heartbeat is to deny life,
yeah.
and to ignore it is heartless. And so that we're seeing that people, just like in Michigan, they are pro-life, but they were lied to. They were told this is about rape victims, and this is about fertility care and miscarriage and making sure that you can choose life. There's nothing in the way of people actually continuing a pregnancy and choosing life. That's all a red herring. The whole thing is smoke and mirrors. And I saw there were 40 some ads that all one lied right after the other. And that's why we see the results we did.
Yeah.
It's not about messaging. It's about money. And I'll tell you what, this ends here.
It absolutely has to. And as you mentioned, there's too many out there saying, well, we have to compromise. Too many Republicans out there saying, well, we have to compromise. And unfortunately, there was one presidential candidate during the debate, I think it was last night, who said we had to compromise on the life issue. For too many voters, that is the one issue. And if the candidate's not pro-life, they wouldn't vote for that candidate, period. So they don't want compromise. Voter, conservative GOP or Democrats, if there are any Democrats out there who are still pro-life, I know there's not very many Democrat politicians who are pro-life because they've been all kicked out. But life is the issue, and they will not be part of a party that is willing to compromise on life, because you're saying it's a fundamental right, the right to life. I mean, that's kind of in the, you know, yeah, life, liberty.
Look, if you want to compromise, let me just say this. And I've said this in a letter to President Trump that look, we want to protect babies from when our lives begin, mm-hmm. from the moment of fertilization, right?
Right.
The other side wants to kill them until birth and beyond.
Yep.
All right. If you want to compromise, I would just suggest to you one already exists. That is not a 15-week ban that saves hardly any babies at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's 6%. You know what? No, we can actually pass heartbeat bills that protect almost every child. And once that heartbeat is detected, that baby is protected. There's your compromise. If you don't want to go all the way to protect at the beginning of life, mm-hmm. you can at least go to where we can detect a fellow human being's beating heart. It's beating like a SOS, asking for help.
Right.
And we're not going to turn our backs on that. And so when we do, when we see where people come out on this, they voted, much like in Michigan, against their beliefs. They don't want to negate parental rights. But the commercial said that this amendment doesn't. They lied through their teeth. And so that's really what's at stake. The people are lied to, and the money won the day because they told more lies than we could counter. But that battle is not over, and this amendment is not the final word.
Absolutely. How involved were the churches when it came to getting the message out of what issue one really was?
You know, it was a mix. I sure would have liked to have seen a lot more. I believe one of the greatest lies of the century is that there's supposed to be a separation of church and state. What basically that means is hand the keys of authority over to the tyrants who hate you. No, we are of the people, by the people, for the people. And you know what? We're the people. We're the sovereign in this government. We're the ones that are supposed to stand up and take the authority that's been given to us through God, through our founding fathers. And we've got to stand up. And for the churches that remain silent, they've got some repenting to do. There's blood on their hands. And what I believe is that there were many that did wake up. They did stand up, but not enough. And if the church stands up across America, we win on every issue.
Yep.
That's our secret weapon that they don't have, but they've been beaten into submission. That's why the enemy has told that lie for so long, scaring people into submission. And we put out a memo through Liberty Council. We made it available to all the pastors. I personally handed it to my own pastor and says, guess what? You're allowed to speak on this, not just to talk around the edges. No, you can flat out tell your congregation to vote no. And for the states that follow, I hope pastors hear that message because there's nothing that stops them from speaking on this moral issue and how their congregation should vote in alignment with the Bible.
Absolutely. We definitely need more pastors who are willing to speak up on the issues, many issues of which life is one. We will definitely be praying for Ohio, the legislative body, the governor, and all the activists such as you over there who are fighting this issue one. And fighting what the left is trying to do or trying to say it stands for. And are there any other ways, probably send you guys money for one thing, would be a way to help.
Yeah, and you know, I say that I've never really been a fundraiser, but I will say this, that if you can help us here, it will help everyone.
Yeah.
And the website again is faith2action.org, F2A.org. But get on that list because a lot of people are going to wonder what's going on next. Where are they planning on rolling their steamroller next? Well, we are standing and we're fighting on multiple fronts. So we need the prayers for the legislators that they stand, that we get these bills introduced and we get them passed. And we withdraw the jurisdiction from the courts so that they can't legislate from the bench like activist judges have been doing for decades.
That's
really the message.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say the judicial issue is definitely very, very important because judges have for decades overstepped their constitutional role. And as you're saying, they're legislating from the bench, which they were not supposed to do. We saw that in the marriage issue. I mean, I was at the press conference you had in front of the Supreme Court during the whole, you know, prior to the Obergefell decision.
You remember that.
Oh,
that
I was, definitely yes. remember that. Definitely remember that.
Yeah.
But again, a perfect example. We have, you know, a perfect example of legislation from the bench by judges, which is not constitutional. So I do encourage our folks to help out. Pray definitely for the effort over there in Ohio. And if you can help out financially, with the effort, give us your website again there. I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. So give us your website again.
Sure. It's F like faith, the number 2, the letter A like action.org, F2A.org or faith, the number 2, action.org. We'll get you there. We've got the press release out. I'll tell you what, it's nothing else. You're going to be encouraged by reading the press release. make the case that we can stand, that we don't have to bow to foreign billionaires coming in to buy an election. You know what? That's not the way laws are supposed to pass. And we're going to challenge it. We're going to stand up in the legislature. We're going to tell the courts you can't unravel what we in the legislature have passed, what the people have passed through their elected officials, just like we're told to do in the Dobbs decision. Mm-hmm. That's the role of the legislature, is to legislate,
absolutely,
not the courts.
Absolutely.
So that's the key. And that's what we're going to see is the legislator standing up and doing what we elected them to do, to defend life and to be a voice for the voiceless and those who are most vulnerable. And that's what's about to happen in Ohio. So cover us in prayer. Because what happens in Ohio, I've heard it since I was a kid. As Ohio goes, so goes the nation.
Yeah.
And we win here. We're going to help everybody.
Well, that's fantastic. Yes, you definitely be in our prayers. And thank you so much for taking time to be with us today and explaining, you know, that there is actually hope in Ohio. That's going to be turned around, as you're saying, that will impact the rest of the nation. So thanks so much for being with us.
Amen. Thank you, Diane. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.